Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. About a week ago, I saw this interesting story of a guy on an airplane, thought it was his right to reach over and grab one of the flight attendants. And because at least this is the way I'm understanding it, because Donald Trump can do it, we all can do it. And okay, is that the world we now live in? And fortunately, there are people speaking out and saying, no, that's probably not how things should go. And here to share some thoughts on, you know, is it now open season on flight attendants? I've asked Sarah Nelson to come talk with us. She's the president of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA. She's the head of one of the big unions that represent our flight attendants. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
So is it open season on flight attendants? Are we allowed to reach over and grab them as they walk by? A little pat? Is that back again? Is that in vogue?
Yeah. So this has never been denounced by the industry. Flight attendants were served up as objects early on with ads that said things like, I'm Cheryl, fly me. And so the industry really defined flight attendants as sex objects and something that and women that can be marginalized and treated in this way. And we've called on the industry to denounce that sexist past, call for a zero tolerance of this kind of behavior on planes, and hold up flight attendants as safety professionals in the job that we're doing, because we need to be the authority on the plane to keep everyone safe. And that's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to address these passenger-on-passenger assaults that happen. And that's what we're talking about here, too. We've got a woman flying in a window seat. You know, if you're a woman on a plane today, the FBI would say, don't fly in a window seat, don't fly at night, don't fly with headphones in, make sure that you're paying attention, all because you're a woman.
Why not?
And,
why?
That's
not the way
that we should be addressing things in this country, right?
Yeah.
So you would think that if you buy a ticket on an airplane, on a commercial airplane, you should be able to have the same freedoms as everyone else on that airline. But Eleanor Roosevelt said that freedom makes a huge requirement on all of humanity. With freedom comes responsibility. And the problem is that we have the leader of this country saying that it's okay to disrespect women. It's okay to touch women. It's okay to have your way with women anytime you want. And he can say that that's in the past, that that's before he was running for president. He's never said it's not okay. He's never denounced it. He's been accused by over a dozen women of this direct activity of wielding his own power over women. And so he has shown the rest to the rest of the men in this country that it's okay. So we're taking steps backwards rather than forward. And I do appreciate all the men who were standing up and saying this is not okay. My good friend Cecil Roberts, the United Mine Worker, I was just at a human rights conference with him recently, and he said, you know, back in Cabin Creek, somebody disrespects a woman or puts their hands on a woman, and the rest of the men in Cabin Creek are going to go out and teach him a lesson. I got up and said, appreciate that very much. My brother from the mine workers, that's his attitude, and he's setting that zero tolerance tone. But what we also have to do is say that we're not just going to say that women are something that we need to take care of. We're going to give women a seat at the table, because if women are in power positions and are setting the tone for this country, then we're going to come to other resolutions where we don't have to just settle things with our fists. But we can actually have a mutual respect for everyone, come to better solutions, have 50% of the population offering those solutions, and setting a tone where everyone has an equal seat and an equal say. And that's what needs to happen, because sexual harassment, sexual assault, marginalization of women, this is not about body parts. This is about power, period. And the person who has the highest authority in the country today is saying it's okay. And that is a problem, and we are seeing it play out on our planes. And the fact that this guy who did this spoke up and said, hey, it's okay because the president of the United States did it. You know, as a union rep and a grievance rep, if I'm able to say that about the CEO, that my flight attendant that I'm defending has done something that the CEO did, that's a dream case, right?
Yeah.
For that defense. And so why are we giving this kind of behavior, that kind of defense, and that kind of example? And it is a incumbent upon the president to set an example that's better than that.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on that. But, you know, in Cecil Roberts' defense, you know, sometimes a good slap upside the back of the head is effective.
Listen, I am very appreciative of Cecil Roberts and his very direct approach on that. He is a solid brother and a solid partner in lifting up women.
See, I can't imagine doing something. I just can't imagine what would go through your head to think that that's okay. And, you know, I heard you, go on about, you know, the FBI says if you're a woman, don't fly at night, don't fly in the window seat, don't wear a head. I can't imagine, and I don't think most men can imagine, what life is like in those scenarios. Because, you know, I've never done that. I've never, you know, I can't even imagine what goes between the ears that you go, hey, I can get away with this. I can't imagine how that comes to happen.
Well, this has been happening, and we took a survey of our members who said that, you know, in the one in five of them had experienced passenger on passenger assaults. That over 90% of them said that they didn't know that their airline had any policy on dealing with sexual assault on planes, which is really disturbing. And then in the times that they were reported, less than 50% did law enforcement meet the flight. So this is people taking it upon themselves in that chain of communication that has to happen from in the cabin to the flight deck to the controllers on the ground to law enforcement, that somewhere along those lines somebody thought that this wasn't important enough to respond to. And that's what has led women to believe that it's absurd to even report these issues. We've been taught that we have to deal with it and that it's a part of our experience. We got to let it roll off our back. That is the sort of message that has been sent to women. And women who have been strong women have stood up and sort of, you know, forced their way through that. And I will tell you that in this time where this is all sort of coming to the surface and during the Kavanaugh hearing, that was a really painful time for people who have been through sexual assault or rape, because there's a lot of women out there who are incredibly strong, have worked through that in their own way. But this was like PTSD across the country, that we would be talking about the highest court in the land and putting someone on the highest court in the land who was accused of this, who was not exonerated from this in this process, and sending a signal to everyone that this is okay. And that is incredibly traumatic, and that's not where we need to be. I mean, we have got to vote on November 6th.
Right.
I don't care what your position has been before, what party you think you've been from, you've got to put a check on this kind of, you know, racing to the lowest, the basic, most base instincts of people. This is calling upon the worst instincts of humanity to rise up. And we need to put a check on that. There are more people who believe otherwise, who expect otherwise, who know that we're better than that. And it's incumbent upon all of us to put a check on that.
I hope you're right.
People need to vote Democrat just for that reason alone.
No, I hope you're right. I hope we're better than this. I mean, to be honest, I'm looking at, you know, November 6th as that day to prove it. It's that put up or shut up moment. Are we better than this or aren't we? I mean, we're going to find out Wednesday morning.
And, you know, I'll tell you, this is not, none of this is a partisan issue. You know, we just got an FAA bill done where finally, after 30 years, flight attendants are going to get increased rest to be able to combat flight attendant fatigue. And we had to build strong bipartisan support for that bill. But also contained in that bill are very strong provisions on dealing with sexual misconduct on planes. Those bills were voted on 398-23 in the House, and 93-6 in the Senate. Ted Cruz didn't bother to vote, even though the bill came out of his committee. But that is a strong bipartisan showing from Congress that these are values that we're going to hold in the country, that we are going to not accept marginalization of women, period, that we're going to set an example of zero tolerance for this kind of behavior and action of sexual misconduct. And so we can't pretend that there's two sides to this issue. There's one side.
Right.
And that's the right side of treating each other with mutual respect.
Yeah.
That's what we've been about forever. And we gotta make sure that we're making that loud and clear with a referendum against Donald Trump's actions as a leader. I say that loosely. The example that he's setting for our country and the very dangerous path that he's taking us down.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, and congratulate you on really what was a hard-fought win with your Fight for 10 campaign. Because, you know, I don't think most people understood, you know, just how overworked, you know, flight attendants and, you know, pilots are as well. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that rest is important, and good on you for winning that and really pushing that through.
Well, it's really important. Considering what we're dealing with now in the plane with the passenger-on-passenger conflicts, having to be a referee more and more, the last thing you want is a tired flight attendant dealing with de-escalating conflicts and responding to emergency situations. And so we increased that rest by 2 hours. As I said, a 30-year fight, seven congressionally commissioned flight attendant fatigue studies that at the end came up with the result in summary that, yes, flight attendants are fatigued, and the best way to avoid that fatigue is to get more rest.
Right.
So this was, you know, this was about our
safety.
It was also about our health, and it's about airline security. Absolutely.
And it's a no-brainer, and it's something the company should have been doing on their own as well. Another example of the private sector not looking out for their employees in my answers. Before I let you go, I got to ask, rumors banging around that I'm hearing that there's the possibility of a merger between your union, the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, and the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, the APFA. Any truth to those rumors that there's a potential merger coming together? Because I'll tell you, with the attacks that are going on, I'm expecting a bunch of mergers. And I'm an IWW guy. I think one big union is maybe the way to be going to, you know, bring all that power into one house. But I'm curious, any truth to the rumors?
Well, you know, this is coming from the rank and file, who understand that standing alone is not going to give them the power that they need against an airline industry that has merged. You know, these airlines merged to build power for themselves and to be able to work in this market. We have to understand that we have to do that too. Stronger together, better together is our motto. And we know that unions were created to take on issues that individual workers can't take on alone. And so the whole idea is that the more that you join together, the more power that you generate. And we know that, and we see that. And frankly, that's how we eventually got what is common sense in this increased rest. Was flight attendants taking action together. It wasn't just members of AFA. It was the members of APFA who spoke up around that, the flight attendants at Southwest, the flight attendants all around the industry, even the ones who are not organized today, who made that happen. So the only way we're going to build power and take on these airlines who have merged, and in this era of globalization and multinational corporations, is if we join together and take on these issues. And I'm a real strong believer in class and craft unions because we're able to take on the specifics of those of that profession. But let's face it, we're taking on big issues today of healthcare. There's no way I can go to the table without also being connected and a merger partner with the Communications Workers of America,
right,
without also being affiliated with the AFL-CIO, with all unions in this labor movement. That's the only way we're going to take on the issues that matter to workers, is if we join together. So I'm super excited that flight attendants are talking about this, the idea of our two unions merging. It's the right idea in these times, in any time, to build power for workers. And I'm going to be working very hard with the flight attendants to try to make this happen.
Well, I've been saying for a while, you know, the idea of having all of these different silos, you know, be it politically or in the labor movement, is not helpful. And what ends up happening is the employers, they get it. They know they can easily pit one union against another, one group of workers against another. Look, the wealth class, the corporate class, they've always been able to slice and dice and pit people against one another. And I always throw back the Jay Gould quote of, you know, I could hire half the working class to kill the other half, as the extreme example. But, you know, they've been masters at doing this. And at some point, you know, I've been saying for a number of years that labor is going to have to, you know, come really closer together. And I know that the argument is they are, but even closer still, and not allow themselves to be divided.
Well, Rick, finally, you know, that is why I stood up and said we've got to stand for the miners' pensions. Because even though we took the pension attack during these bankruptcies and almost every airline employee lost our pensions, we cannot fall prey to the idea that I lost mine, so they should lose theirs. That is these companies and these corporate elites trying to drive us to the lowest common denominator. So I have, you know, called on the entire labor movement to rally behind saving the pensions of the mine workers who have powered our country and also built our labor movement, who said that we can't just be mine workers alone. We've got to make sure that the communication workers and the steel workers have their own union to be able to speak up. And so they really built this labor movement, and we have the principle in the labor movement that you leave no worker behind, and this is time for us to stand up for them. And so I'm really happy to join them tomorrow for the inauguration of the International Officers of the Mine Workers. Cecil Roberts will be the longest-serving United Mine Workers president. I'm really proud to be being given an award there from them, their first ever Blizzard Jones Award for Mother Blizzard and Mother Jones. And this is what we have to do. Labor has to come together. We all have to stand behind the postal workers who are taking on a huge fight against privatization right now. We got to stand for the federal workers who are taking on executive orders from the president to wipe out their unions. If we don't stand together, there's going to be none of us left to stand up. And we can't let that happen. So we have got to join together more than ever before. It's unions who built up this country with the laws that we have, the safety regulations, the pensions that we earn, the retirement security, the health care. That was because of unions. And so if we don't have our unions, we're not going to be able to keep those things in place or make them better.
You're absolutely right. Back to the old Knights of Labor, an injury to one is an injury to all, and it's something we may need to remember. Especially today. Sarah, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the passion. Keep up the great fight, and we'd love to have you come back again.
Thanks so much, Rick. Appreciate all you do.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Sarah Nelson, president of the Flight Attendants Union. Look, at the end of this, you know, she's absolutely right. This is one of those moments where all in or all out. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We're the first ones to die.